Thank you, Becky, for reading our text this morning. Abari Yako Kanisa, good morning, church. How are you all doing? Buenos dias, iglesia. ¿Cómo estás? What a joy and privilege to gather on Palm Sunday in the name of Jesus, led by the Spirit and desiring God, for the purpose of worshiping God in truth and in spirit, edify one another, and listen to his word. May God bless our time together in his word, and may it nourish, encourage, edify, and equip us for works of ministry. And somebody in the house said amen. Thank you. We human beings are hardwired to have expectations. And inevitably, we hold expectations of ourselves and others. These expectations shape our thoughts, actions, attitudes, relationships, and eventually our lives. We thrive on expectations and hopes. How do you feel when somebody lets you down or fails to meet your expectations? How does it make you feel when you fail to live up to somebody's expectations? Could be your wife, husband, your dad, your mom, your boss. How does that make you feel when you realize they have set the expectations too high and you can't live up to them? In a book, Expectation Hangover, Overcoming Disappointment in Work, Love, and Life, Christine Hassler explains, when things go according to plan and our expectations are met, we feel accomplished and in control. However, when life throws a curveball at us and fails to meet our set expectations, we experience a feeling of disappointment, which she calls expectation hangover. This happens when a desired outcome is not achieved, or we reach a particular result that does not provide the anticipated satisfaction or high. Unmet expectations, whether realistic or unrealistic or misguided, can leave us bewildered, disgruntled, discouraged, regretful, and even depressed. They can potentially lead to a lack of unity, joy, and peace in our lives and communities, sucking the life out of our relationships and causing dissatisfaction and perpetual conflict. Let me ask you a personal question. What are some of your expectations? Do you have any expectations for yourself and for other people? Some people teach that to avoid any kind of disappointment, you do not have to have expectations for yourself or for somebody else. But I would like to differ, Because there's nothing wrong with having expectations for you and others. But setting those expectations too high or too low is what makes that to be a problem. Sometimes we have unreasonable expectations, way up there. Sometimes we have controlling expectations. We want to allow other people only when they behave in a certain way. So we have limitations. If you have to be in my house, you have to behave. You have to do this and that and that. Otherwise, I'll kick you out. Have you ever been told that? This morning, we'll continue our series, Journey to the Cross, with a message entitled Unmet Expectations. We will reflect on Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, which marked the beginning of the Passion Week, from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 28 to 44. Jesus' final entrance into Jerusalem is famously known as the triumphal entry. The people welcomed him with jubilation as if he were a victorious king returning to the city after a battle. They waved palm branches and sang praises. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Glory in the highest and peace on earth. However, this joyful entry would soon turn into a tragic sequence of events that led to the arrest of Jesus, his trial, rejection, suffering, and death. And Jesus, going into this, knew that God had ordained his death to bring about salvation to humanity. It was the will of God for Jesus to die for us. He said, I laid down my life, and nobody takes my life away from me. And I have the audacity, the power, and the authority to pick it up. So Jesus knew exactly what the plan was. As the week progressed, the crowd's excitement would turn into disappointment, and they betrayed Jesus with shouts of crucify him, crucify him. Now, this story reflects how we usually react when our expectations go unmet. Our emotions move from happiness and excitement to disappointment and anger and fury. The story also reminds us that life is unpredictable, and we must acknowledge our vulnerabilities and learn to deal positively and resiliently with unfulfilled expectations. And that brings us to our first point. Joy and excitement is the first emotion we feel when our expectations, hopes, and anticipations are fulfilled. Brings us joy and fulfillment. When somebody lives up to our expectations, or when we achieve what we expected we would do, it brings us joy and excitement. Can I have a witness in the house? Thank you. However, We must strive to have realistic expectations anchored in truth, and the truth that would inspire us and motivate us to become better versions of ourselves. The triumphal entry into Jerusalem had been anticipated for centuries, since Zechariah prophesied in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, which reads, "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious. Yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt." There was much excitement and jubilation among the people when Jesus emerged on a donkey, fulfilling a familiar messianic prophecy. And everybody knew what it meant, because they went to the temple and the synagogue, and the teachers of the law would have read that prophecy to them. And so they were anticipating and looking forward to this for a long time. However, the religious leaders refused to recognize Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah. They say to him, "Rabbi, silence your disciples." But he said, "The stones would cry out if they kept quiet." But the people's hopes soared, and their expectations grew even more. Could he be the Messiah, our promised king? They wondered. Many believed in him, but in their minds, the Messiah would build an army, overthrow the Roman oppressors, and establish a new kingdom. Despite their high expectations and hopes, doubts lingered. "Is this not the carpenter's son, Joseph? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas with us? And all his sisters with us as well? Wasn't he from Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Shouldn't he be building a secret army to defeat our enemies?" Mark chapter 6 verse 3 concludes, "So they took offense at him." Who do you think you are? Even John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, had unmet expectations about the Messiah. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 2 to 3, John the Baptist is imprisoned by Herod and sends a message to Jesus asking, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else?" It looked like Jesus did not fit in the popular expectations of the day, which had influenced John the Baptist. Even though he was the one to prophesy, "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, because he who sent me told me that on whomever you see the Holy Spirit resting, That is the Messiah. That is the Lamb of God. But I guess he was in a very difficult situation here, and he expected Jesus to come save him. But don't laugh at John the Baptist. We too sometimes have doubts about God. If he is God, why did he let my brother or sister die? If he is God and I prayed, why didn't he answer my prayer? If God is loving and caring, why do the righteous suffer? Why do they suffer? And this sense leads us right into our second point. Unmet expectations can leave us languishing and disappointed. Unmet expectations can leave us disappointed and languishing. Languishing is a sense of stagnation and emptiness, while disappointment is the emotion that emerges when expectations are not met. It occurs when our experience falls below what we hoped for or anticipated. However, depending on our response, failure and disappointment can become learning, growth, and maturity opportunities. Because sometimes all we need is to grow up. The good, the bad, and the ugly will help us to mature into what God wants us to be. If our expectations are not met. But check your attitudes. That is very important before God. During the Passion Week, the crowd's wrong expectations of Jesus as their Messiah, who would overthrow the Romans and restore their nation to its past glory, plummeted, leading to great disappointment. Why? Because Jesus was now arrested without resistance. He didn't call upon angel armies to fight the Romans, nor did he defend himself in any way. Peter tried to fight back, but Jesus rebuked him and healed the priest's servant who lost an ear because of Peter's enthusiasm. So when it became seemingly apparent that Jesus would not fulfill their hopes, as mentioned earlier, the cheering crowd went from shouting Hosanna, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, to angry shouts of crucify him, crucify him. Underneath the people's anger and underneath their hearts was the people's anger and fury towards Jesus and an expression of their disappointment and pain. They had expected Jesus to be a warrior Messiah who would save them from their political oppression. However, Jesus is now crucified and died, leaving the faithful feeling discouraged and hopeless. Even the disciples walking to Emmaus expressed their disappointment, saying, "We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel from Roman oppression. But alas, Luke chapter 24, verse 21 carries that story in detail. Now, you and I know that Jesus did not come to conquer the Roman Empire and establish a political kingdom, but he came to conquer sin, death, and the devil together with his minions. He came to establish a spiritual kingdom within us. Scripture says, Jesus came to destroy the devil's works, remove our sins and the sting of death, and grant us abundant or eternal life. You find that in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, John chapter 3, verse 16, and John chapter 10, verse 10. Now, let's shift the focus from the disappointment of the crowd lining the streets of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago to the present, here and now. We have all experienced disappointments and unmet expectations, such as health issues, damaged and broken relationships, loved ones who walk away from the faith, and family values, financial needs, the loneliness of being single, the moral failure of a spiritual leader or pastor who let you down because you had put them on a pedestal, and when they fell in sin, you are so disappointed, some people would even leave the faith and the church just because one person did not fulfill their expectations. Sometimes it's domestic anger, abuse and violence, a spouse not living up to your expectations, or maybe your child. Now, how then should we respond to unmet expectations? How should we respond to unmet expectations? One, by practicing the discipline of self-examination. The story of the triumphal entry illustrates well how distorted expectations can lead to disappointment. Therefore, we should examine our expectations, considering Scripture, and be courageous enough to repent and change course if our expectations are off or misguided. It takes courage to do that. Self-examination is a practice of humility where we invite the Holy Spirit to search and know our hearts, to search and know the intents and motives of our hearts. It means looking to Scripture and seeing God's commands as the Holy Spirit points out our sins and failures. Self-examination is essential to sanctification and spiritual formation because it shows us how to measure up to God's standards of holiness. To examine our expectations, we need to ask ourselves, the following questions. Is this expectation legitimate? Is it based on the correct interpretation of Scripture? Am I lacking compassion and being too judgmental or critical of others when they don't meet my expectations? Do I show them grace and mercy? Please be aware that lack of compassion and being overly critical of others may be coming from our childhood wounds, pain, and trauma, which may have resulted from neglect, abuse, rejection, or abandonment in the past. If that's you, I hope you will address that with people out there who can help you overcome your shortcomings or your pain. The other question we could ask ourselves is, am I being manipulated by other people's unrealistic expectations? Remember that people with warped expectations are complex and emotionally exhausting. They will leave you depleted because they keep shifting the goalposts, making it difficult for anyone to please them or meet their expectations. How should we respond to unmet expectations again? Second, take time to grieve the loss of unmet expectations, hopes, and dreams. The Psalms are full of prayers of laments, and you can take a leaf from that, especially David, who said, how long, O Lord, is this going to go on? David is a good example who has prayed a lot of prayers in Scripture that you can refer to and get a leaf from on your quest to present your lamentations before God. Now, Jesus too faced disappointments and grief that his people did not recognize him, welcome and receive him as the Messiah. Jesus wept. He mourned over Jerusalem because they did not recognize the time of their visitation, the time of their salvation. We can learn from Jesus the model of unwavering faith so that when disappointed, we can mourn but trust God's will and plan for our lives. Perhaps you are disgruntled with life, family, relationship dynamics, or adult children who have chosen their way of life and abandoned the family values that you instilled in them growing up. Or maybe you have always hoped for a better relationship with your parents, siblings, or grown-up children. Yet that longing remains unmet. Because when ungrieved, unmet expectations can hang over us and may even lead to resentment, shame, depression, and anxiety. Here is how to lament your unmet expectations. First, identify, name, and determine the legitimacy of your unmet expectations. Feel the emotion of loss from legitimate but unmet expectations. Accept the loss for what it is. Don't be in denial. 4, be gracious. Be compassionate and forgive yourself and others who did not live up to your expectations. Just like Jesus on the cross said, "Father, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And 5, begin again. This time armed with new perspectives and a realistic approach full of grace, mercy, compassion, and humility. A big dose of humility. In conclusion, as Lisa Hughes ably asserts, when we face thwarted plans, dismantled hopes, unfulfilled expectations, and unanswered prayers, will we respond with gentle faith, trusting and submitting ourselves to God's unfolding plan for our lives, seeking to do His will and His will alone? Jesus said, "Not my will, but your will be done." I have my own preference. However, I will forgo my preference for me to submit to the perfect will of God in my life. Oh, let me ask you this. Will bitterness, anger, self-pity, fear, or depression emerge from the miry clay of our doubt and unbelief? Remember, life doesn't always turn out as we imagined. Yet we can respond to God in God glorifying ways when our circumstances fall short of our desired hopes and expectations. Jesus does not give up on us, nor should we. He strengthens us in our weaknesses and intercedes for us, so the enemy does not sift us like wheat, like he wanted to do to Peter. Even when we fail him, he still invites us to come to him, giving us a new life of peace, comfort, joy, and rest. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are burdened, and I will give you rest." That's Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. We must show unwavering faith and realize that Jesus did not come to eliminate our troubles from the world. He came to suffer with us. He suffered in every way and can sympathize with our infirmities. Amen? I hope that landed for you. Let's pray. God, our eternal Father, we come before you humbly, knowing that we carry lots and lots of disappointments emanating from unmet expectations in our lives of ourselves and of our loved ones, the people we care about. I pray that you may bring divine healing to the pain that we carry because of those unmet expectations. The bitterness that we carry, the fury and the critical spirit, set us free, Lord, and help us to thrive in our relationship with you. Help us to have that self-examination to see where we need help, and help us to submit our cares, anxieties, and sin to you, set us free by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for this word we have heard today. I just pray that you may help us to gain the courage to examine our hearts in light of your word and help us to grow, mature, and change, and even repent from unhealthy expectations. We give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we are praying. And somebody in the house said amen.